Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 196 of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Susan Giesman's book, Making the Afterlife Connection, The Journey from Doubt to Knowing That Death Is Not the End. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from chapter 4, which is titled Evidence, and this is what Suzanne has written. In Anne's class, I met fellow student Sophie Burnham, a best-selling author known for her books on angels. I was far more interested in connecting with Susan than with angels, but when Sophie demonstrated quite clearly in the psychometry exercise that she could attune to deceased loved ones, I sensed the answer to my prayers. The skeptic in me didn't want to ever wonder whether the medium I had chose had found the tribute to Susan I'd posted on our sailing website. Neither Sophie nor Anne knew my last name or anything about my loss. 4 days later, Ty and I travelled to Sophie's condominium in a high-rise not far from Washington's National Cathedral. I'd spent the drive drumming my fingers nervously on my thighs, well aware of how much hope I was placing on one woman's abilities. I kept up a continuous silent prayer to Susan not to let me down. Ty said little as we approached Sophie's door. Years later, he told me that he had not even known what a medium was, but had gone along simply because I had asked him to. Sophie informed us that she normally read for only one person at a time, and we agreed that I would sit with her first. She and I retreated to a small sitting room overlooking the tree-lined street 7 stories below. I sat nervously on a brocaded love seat as Sophie settled into a high-backed armchair to my left. She began by telling me things about myself that had nothing to do with my purpose for being there. "Oh," she said, "what a happy marriage you have. Happiness is all around you. It's so rare to have someone come to me who is so organically content." I sighed, frustrated. Yes, until Susan's death I had been quite happy. "Why do you need a reading? You have all that you need," Sophie said. "Not anymore," I thought, as images of Susan's smiling face flashed in my mind. "So you are just completely blessed," she said. I was beginning to get restless. "There's a certain spirit I was hoping would show up," I admitted, hesitant to give even the slightest bit of information. Without notice, Sophie squinted and asked, "Do you have a headache? I have a tremendous headache suddenly, and I'm tingly all over, like little electrical impulses." I felt a chill. I knew from my research that mediums will often sense how a person died from a physical sensation within their own body. The electrical feel would be from the lightning that had struck Susan in the head. "Okay," she said. "It was so sudden, this thing." She touched her forehead. "It's like... actually, I think it does relate to you, because I can't express it exactly, but it's like the headache of Zeus and Athena." My memory of mythology was a bit weak, but I knew who Zeus was, the god of lightning bolts. I pictured the mighty figure standing atop a mountain holding a jagged bolt of lightning, just like the one that had struck Susan, and the tears began. Sophie didn't seem to notice how deeply her words had shaken me. She shifted her gears and went back to giving me information unrelated to Susan. "I'm asking what your work is," she said. "And this is really unusual in the sense that I think you're reaching into the highest angelic realm. The work that you should be doing relates to some kind of service." "I've been meditating and praying to be led to what I should do," I admitted. "Take a moment and shut your eyes and breathe, because they're right here, right now," she said. "Two powerful angels standing right behind you. And if before you begin your work, you ask them to be working through you, it will always happen." "I do that," I said, "before I write." That's perfect, Sophie said. Then she paused. I held my breath. Enough about me. I wanted to get back to the lightning bolts. Well, there's someone here who wants to speak to you, but I'm not getting very much except a little tug like this. She tugged at her sleeve. And it's a woman. Well, really, it's more like a young girl. A young girl in her 20s. She was a relative and died unexpectedly. Do you have someone who died young and unexpectedly? My throat instantly constricted. Oh yes, I said as my heart pounded. That's why I'm here. If Sophie had wanted to give a fake reading, she only had to tell me that she sensed a great-grandmother with grey hair who had died when her heart gave out. Anyone could make up that kind of detail. What she told me was exactly what I'd been praying to hear. With accuracy, no one could fake. The headache, the electrical impulses, the lightning bolt reference, and now the presence of a young woman in her 20s who had died suddenly. What Sophie said next turned my tears into sobs. And now there's a second person who is a younger child. She's holding this child by the hand. It's somebody from the other side that she's taking care of. And she wants to present this child to you. They're fine, Sophie said, giving me the same message Susan had given me in my vivid dreams. They're wonderful, and she loves you enormously. And don't be unhappy, or don't cry, don't cry. Not crying was impossible. Just tell her to stay here for her dad. Stay here for her dad, Sophie repeated. Okay, you can tell her that if you want. I'll hold the energy field like a radio for you while you talk to her with your heart. And if you can't hear her, I'll tell you what she's saying. Mother is the word I get, and I'm just having waves of heat and energy at the heart, enormous waves of love. And this child that she has presented is still there, but hanging back a little shyly, as if he doesn't know how to come crawl on your lap. I had to remind myself to breathe. For breathing was the only way I knew I wasn't dreaming. This evidence from Susan, expressed through this living angel, Sophie, was beyond my dreams. I've just gotten a word I don't understand at all, which is the word Ruby, Sophie said. Rudy? I asked. Susan loved our little dachshund, as she cared for all animals. Could be Rudy. A lot of it I only hear little pieces of. Anyway, she just sat herself down right here next to you. Sophie laughed happily. Do you sense that? I asked, incredulous. Or do you see it? Well, I sort of see it. Is she around a lot? Are you around a lot? Sophie asked, the space beside me. I glanced to my side and bit my lip. No, she's not, Sophie said. She has a lot of stuff to do. But she looks in now and again, at night particularly. At night when you're sleeping, because that's a time when it's possible to come through. In a dream or in that hypnagogic state. So she tries sometimes then. But there's a lot going on the other side. She has a lot of stuff she's doing and is very happy. Sophie continued. She doesn't want to leave your side. And so I wonder if it would be possible for your husband to come in. Absolutely, I said, jumping up from the sofa. I hurried to the dining room on shaking legs. Ty looked up when I appeared in the doorway and announced in rapid fire, "You have to come now, because there's a young girl in her 20s who died unexpectedly, and she has a baby with her, and she wants to talk to you." He took in my words and my tear-stained face, and his lips became a thin line. He followed me wordlessly to the other room and took a seat in the empty chair across from Sophie. "I've not tried to read for two people at once," she said, "but we have a spirit here, and it's a young woman, and this repetition of mother." Just then, a loud crash caused the three of us to jump. A large fern that had been previously placed squarely in a heavy clay pot on a table across the room now lay shattered on the floor. Sophie frowned at the dirt spread across the linoleum. Ty and I stared at the window, which was open only a few inches. The branches on the trees outside barely moved. Nothing physical had dislodged the heavy planter. "I'm sorry about that," Sophie said, as if it were a normal occurrence for objects to fall to the floor by themselves. It just jerked me out of this for the moment. She then proceeded to describe Susan correctly as a very nice-looking girl with brown hair and a brown uniform, just as our young Marine Sergeant wore. And this is your daughter, isn't it? Because now she's saying, Daddy, Daddy. Yes, it was Ty's turn to choke up. Yes, and I don't know if you can feel her embracing you now, but again I'll tell you that if you want to talk to her, I'll hold this energy field and you can say whatever you want to. Sophie squinted. And she is actually, at this moment, almost in tears. This means a lot to her to come to you. The moment seemed surreal, as my beloved left-brained husband spoke with great emotion to his deceased daughter. He told Susan how much he missed her and loved her, and how much he would have said to her if he had had the chance. Today I was reading from Susan Giesman's book, Making the Afterlife Connection, The Journey from Doubt to Knowing That Death is Not the End. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the button on my homepage at pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or on Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.